Welcome to The Compassionate Mind, your guide to self-compassion and emotional well-being. I'm Ashley Daniel, your host. Join us each week as we explore practical tools and insights to nurture kindness towards ourselves and others. Welcome, welcome back to The Compassionate Mind podcast. I'm so excited just to continue the conversation that we have been having. Last week, we talked a lot about shame and just introducing, how do you know if you are someone who is being driven by shame? Is it something that guides your decisions, how you think, how you talk about yourself, all those pieces? So make sure you check that out as we continue on. This series will really just be about understanding shame and how it could actually be guiding you and influencing you in ways that you didn't really notice. One of the main things that we're going to talk about is influences. And today, the main influence we'll be addressing is culture. Culture and shame is a huge factor. This is especially true for anyone from a South Asian background. And as you know, I am South Asian. South Asia, even with research, what it encapsulates is pretty large. Some research even includes Afghanistan, Iran. Typically, I think people, when they think about South Asia, are thinking about Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, just all those kinds of countries. So there's quite a long list. But while there's a lot of nuance within these cultures, differences of religion, differences in language, one of the common factors is that shame is a big factor in how we see the world and how we move in the world. And it's definitely going to be different depending on if you were born and raised in a South Asian country, or maybe you were born and raised outside, like I was in the United States. So it really can look so different depending on who you are and where you grew up. There's also an understanding that just because you grew up in a South Asian family doesn't mean that this will fit for you. Not every South Asian has the same experience. And that's something that, especially counselors who are learning to be multiculturally competent, we have to know that not every South Asian is the same. There are a lot of qualities that make us really different. And when it comes to shame, it really boils down to some other factors. So if you're South Asian, but your family is different, that's going to really impact what shame looks like for you. So to go into a little bit of detail, shame when it comes to families who are South Asian, it really starts off with parenting style. So there's four different parenting styles. There is authoritarian, authoritative, permissive, and uninvolved. And these four parenting styles are going to show up in a lot of different ways. You know, now there was actually a show called The Parent Test, and it came on ABC. I want to say it was last year. They have an Australia version too. But The Parent Test, I think it came up with about 20 different parenting styles. So when it comes to that, you know, you can still take those 20 and fit them within those four types. So there's basically two factors when it comes to parenting styles. You have parenting that is highly responsive and then or low in responsiveness. And then you have parenting that's high demand or low demand. If you are an authoritarian parent, and I like to kind of think of it as authoritarian librarian, if that happens, if you're an authoritarian parent, then there's probably going to be elements of high demand. So a lot of expectation, right? There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of shoulds and should nots. But there's not a lot of communication, right? There's a lot of rules, but communication isn't very clear. Sometimes the child might know if they're doing things right. They might not. There's not a lot of that responsiveness. So it's low on responsiveness, high on demand. And responsiveness, you can kind of see it like a relationship. So how important is the relationship for the parent? So when it comes to authoritative, there is still a high demand. So there is expectation. There's clear ideas of what the child is expected to do. But there is high responsiveness. So the relationship is really important. And so someone who is more from that authoritative relationship is going to have a lot of communication with their child. There might be some negotiation involved, a lot of clarity. Like, let's talk about our expectations. So those that come from a South Asian family typically are going to come from a more authoritarian parenting style. So parents that are authoritarian, as we can see with a lot of people from our background, have a lot of expectations. There is an idea of maybe perfectionism, right? Things have to be a certain way. And if it's not a certain way, then you have failed as a child. And that can create a lot of shame, right? That's really where that comes from, is this idea of you really vacillate between I'm too much or I'm not enough. And anytime you go between these two extremes, that's where shame is coming up, right? So because the standard is here, like here's a standard, is I need to be like this. This is the way a person should be, right? A lot of shoulds. And some theories in counseling say don't should on yourself. Its idea is, but we do have a lot of shoulds in our culture, right? And so anytime shame comes up, it's, oh, I'm not enough of this, or I'm too much of this. And that's where we end up going back and forth. And so that's a huge factor. So maybe you're South Asian, but your family wasn't authoritarian. You might not relate to this as much. But you might not be South Asian, but your family was a more authoritarian style of parenting. You might really relate to this. I have some clients of mine who grew up in really strict religious households, perhaps, or just very high expectation families. And they resemble a lot of my South Asian clients. So this may still fit for you. Even if you're not South Asian, the topics we talk about today, and any topic we talk about when it comes to shame might really fit for you. So that's a big thing, is parenting style. The other factor is, how much do you personally internalize the culture? So we know the standard, right? But not every South Asian person is living and dying by that standard. A lot of them say, well, I don't even care. I don't actually want to live by that. I don't feel any pull for that. So you're not really being governed by that standard. So it depends on that too. How much do you internalize or accept the culture and those standards? So you might be South Asian, but don't really care what people think, then this might not impact you as much. The other piece is, how big is the generational divide? Some parents who have a bit more of that old school mentality may have a bigger divide with their younger children who come from not only a different generation, but also a different culture, a different, you know, so many factors, right, that can highly impact how much they relate to their child. So all those factors can determine whether you as a South Asian person have been impacted by shame to this level. But all those things, whether you're South Asian or not, but maybe you come from, you know, those factors I just mentioned, it can be really impactful. So what does that mean for us? When we're led by shame, we're constantly thinking, I'm not good enough. And so it determines a lot of our ways of seeing who we are as people, right? So if I believe I'm not good enough, it's going to impact the way I present in the world. It's going to impact the way that I do things and how I, whether I accept things or how I just operate. But one of the biggest things that can happen if we are shame-driven is we actually almost become two different people. And I think a lot of South Asians will, especially if they relate to what I just said, the authoritarian parents, the highly taking in, right, highly internalizing the culture, all those factors. If that's you, you might have divided yourself into two different people. The person that is acceptable, that your parents are like, yes, this is the version of you that we want you to be, versus the real you, flaws and all, right? And we become these two people. And when we have these two versions of us, it really creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry. It can create that shame to be even louder, because who we actually are is not welcome in certain spaces. And that the bigger that divide is, the harder it is to live and operate in the world. So there's a lot of things to kind of consider. One is that worth it for you, right? One of the terminology we use to describe this phenomenon of the two selves is incongruence. So is there the version that you're presenting in the world, if it's so different from who you actually are, that's going to create so much anxiety. Like I said, it's going to create so much discontent, right? I cannot be who I really am. And it's going to create resentment with your parents. There's so many factors here. So what does that mean? A lot of maybe therapists who are not aware of the culture might suggest cut off your parents. They might say, well, talk to them, tell them how you feel. And a lot of my South Asian clients will laugh and say, oh yeah, like it's that easy for me to cut off my parents, one. Because what a lot of non-Asian counselors might not understand is cutting off your family is as close to life and death as you can maybe get as a South Asian person. And maybe one day we'll get into a little bit more about why that is. But the other thing about even talking to your parents about this stuff, it's really difficult. And I think one of the goals could be, how do I make this space safe enough for me to talk to my parents about who I really am? Is there anything about the real me that I can slowly share and open up to them about? That could be a goal if that's something you want. For some people, that's just not safe. It may not be a worthwhile endeavor. It really depends on each person, right? And how safe, again, I say safe maybe for the fourth time, but how safe is it for you with your parents? There is another option though. In the meantime, I really think a goal for us, especially as if you're coming from an American background, you're a South Asian American, it might be a really important goal to merge these two versions of you. The version of you that you've kind of kept, you know, unfiltered, highly filtered, actually. The version of you that you've kept pristine and untouched. I think that's a better way of saying it. There's that version of you, and then the version that is the actual you. Merging those two, right? Because even the pristine pieces, they're pieces that you have plucked, right? And separated and put in frame for your parents or for the culture to see, right? So you have that version that's been plucked and been established, right? But that's still you. So we need to merge these two and create what we call in counseling some congruency, right? And there's a lot of steps we can get, but one thing that I think is really important that you can do right now is find a community where this real version of you is accepted and loved and understood. And how much do you allow people to see, right? Because even with this real version, there may be friends and people you really love and care about, but still don't show a lot of who you really are. And it's so important to develop a community where you feel that version of you can really be seen and showcased and loved. Because what this does, the separation by saying, okay, this is the only part that's actually acceptable, it makes that shame so loud, because the more that version of you gets attention, it just screams that this version is not enough, right? if we can show ourselves that's not true, that this real version of you, this flawed version of you, is okay, that will heal us tremendously. All the inner child stuff, all that pain of saying, oh, love is only conditional. If I just do these things, I'll be loved and accepted. That is what that shame, that's what the culture tells us, right? The culture tells us, if I ever veer from this version of me, then I'm not good enough. Then I'm not going to be loved. Then I'm not going to be accepted. And those that have actually experienced the devastation of when this part of you gets barreled into the sunlight without any control, right? Those that have experienced divorce, those that have experienced maybe pregnancy outside of wedlock, those kinds of things that just push our actual self into the sunlight, it can be so difficult and devastating. But you know, that is where that shame pops up, right? So anyway, we'll touch on that at the end in a second. But you really, it's so important to have a space where this actual self gets the love and attention and acceptance it deserves. So ask yourself, do you have a community like that? Do you have a person like that? It may not be a whole group of people. I'll share personally, for me, marriage really enabled me to see that this version of me was loved and accepted and seen. I don't want to tell the story because it's very embarrassing. So I'll tell just a small snippet. But early on in marriage, I made a very big financial mistake. And I laugh about it because it was really, really dumb. But I really just went into myself and was so expecting just that shame, that not shame, but I was expecting to be ridiculed and put down and for my mistake to be shoved in my face. That's what I was expecting, right? Because I went off the standard. I did what I wasn't supposed to do. But instead, my husband responded with so much grace and love and made fun of me a little bit, which is fine, but in a very loving way. But it was just this kind of acceptance that I had not experienced in that way before, where I was seen in my flaws and in my mistakes and loved and all those things. And so I feel like in marriage, I've experienced this, and with a lot of friendships as well, of being able to be seen. That's what therapy has done for me and could be for you too, is to show this part of you, this unfiltered, this completely flawed and imperfect version of you, and to let it be shown, let it be known who you really are, and know that it's okay, right? With that therapist, with that friend, with that partner, to know, oh, I can be seen and I'm okay. It's so healing. And I really want each of you to experience that. And maybe a good vessel for it could be therapy, especially if you don't feel ready to show those parts to people yet. What I love about therapy is it gives you almost a test run. Let me tell this person who is not supposed to judge me, who doesn't judge you, because we really get trained not to do that. All those kind of pieces. Let me run it through them and feel what it feels like to be completely accepted by this person. And then maybe after that test run, I'll feel more comfortable to talk about this with someone else in my actual life. I think that is a great step. So we'll talk about the subject so much more. I think I could talk about this for days. Shame, when it comes to culture, is so impactful. I mean, it completely has shaped why shame is one of my driving forces. I think there's topics that we are going to touch on, because what shame does is it keeps us quiet. It keeps us from actually talking about the important things. It wants us to shut up. And what we need to do is actually talk. So in future episodes, we're going to touch on things like divorce. We'll touch on things like sex, infertility, broken engagements. There's so many things that in the South Asian culture, we refuse to talk about because of that shame. And in this podcast, we're going to shed light. What is it like to be South Asian and divorced? What is it like to be South Asian and experience infertility? All those factors, right, that we are told we should not talk about, we are told are shameful. To say it's not, that that's just the reality, that's the actual self, and let's give it space. So I'm so excited to continue to talk to you about this subject, and I hope it was a heartwarming thing to realize that this actual version of you is okay, can be loved, and is accepted. All right. Have a good rest of your day. Take care. Bye. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's content, tune in for our next episode. Don't forget, subscribe and share with your friends and family. Until next time, stay compassionate.